the preaching of the cross. It is to them that perish foolishness, but unto us which are saved, it is the power of God. For the preaching of the cross, it is to them that perish foolishness, but unto us which are saved, it is the power of God.
Hello listeners, this is the Power of Endless Life, brought to you courtesy of Plumet Publishing, a Christian publishing house. Our goal on this program is to present to you Christ, His cross, and His church. I am your host, John Adichoro Olua. We're reading again from Hebrews chapter 6, from verse 1 to 3. That has been the scripture we've been bringing to you to pick on the issue of the first principles of the oracles of God. We've been looking at some of this issue from the beginning, and now we are dealing with the issue of resurrection of the dead. We've been on it for some weeks now, and we are continuing today. It appears that this issue of resurrection of the dead is a very wide teaching in the scriptures, and we want to cover it as much as possible, since we know from this scripture, Hebrews chapter 6, that we must lead this properly for us to go on to perfection. So let's read again, Hebrews chapter 6, verse 1 to 3. Therefore, leaving the principles of the doctrine of Christ, let us go on unto perfection, not laying again the foundation of repentance from dead works, and of faith toward God, and the doctrine of baptism, and of laying on of hands, and of resurrection of the dead, and of eternal judgment. And this we do, if God permit. Thank God for He's been giving us the grace to bring the word, and we thank you. Those of you who have been listening, thank you for your inquiries, for your questions, and we trust that we're going to be available to answer them. We continue today on the issue of Christ, the first fruit. We started this last week, but we were unable to conclude it. So I want us to go back and read that scripture in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, where this is clearly stated. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 20. But now is Christ risen from the dead, and have become the first fruit of them that slept. For since by man came death, by man came also the resurrection of the dead. For in Adam all die, even so in Christ shall all be made alive. But every man in his own order, Christ the first fruits, and afterward they that are Christ at his coming. Then cometh the end, when he shall deliver up the kingdom to God, even the Father, when he shall have put down all rule and all authority and all power. We see here again, it says here in verse 20, but now is Christ risen from the dead and become the first fruit of them that slept. We've shown this last week, but the aspect that we want to bring today, important, we have shown that Christ is the first fruit. He died, he rose, and we saw that the saints, the Old Testament, rose together with him on the day of resurrection. But we want to emphasize here, what does the Bible mean when it says Christ, afterward they that are Christ at his coming? They that are Christ at his coming. That's what we want to look at today. We've been saying on this program that resurrection is not just a doctrine, but it's a life to live now. We have said that this resurrection must happen in the spirit as we give our life to the Lord Jesus Christ. We are quickened. We are made alive in our spirit man, and we become born again. We that were darkness before, we are now light. Light in the Lord, and we are encouraged to walk in the light. Light is given to us. We shared with you that the spirit of man is the candle of the Lord, searching his inward part. That place of light is in the spirit man. It's the same thing that Jesus was saying in the parable of the 10 virgins. He says the foolish virgins and the wise virgins. The wise virgins, they had oil in their lamp, which is suggesting their spirit man, and they have oil also in their vessel, which is speaking of their souls. So we want to answer this question from the scripture. Those that are Christ, or those that are of Christ, we begin to become of him and for him at the beginning, when we give our life to the Lord Jesus Christ. The Bible says when we are born again, we begin to see the kingdom of God. We become His children. His Spirit is in us. The Spirit of adoption is given to us. We start this journey of being in Christ and belonging to Christ at being born again experience. And this is what we want to emphasize and emphasize. But then to start this journey and not to continue is the issue today. And it's the problem that many believe that once they are born again, that's the end of the story. And all they need to do is to live their lives the way they want and how they want it. And just have a bit of religion, have a bit of Christian activities, go to church as much as they can, do whatever they can. They are good. It's good to go to church. It's good to read your Bible. It's good to belong to one congregation or the other. They are all very, very important and good. But much more than that, we want to show you from the scripture things that really make us to continue to belong to Christ and to be of Him to the extent that we can become part of the first resurrection, to be part of first resurrection. And I want to read for us from Revelation chapter 20. The reason why we are bringing this word that we know there's a eagerness, a burden, if I can use that word, there's an expectation in the heart of God that all of us will be given the counsel of the Lord and will be able to become all that God wants us to be. Like we said to you last week, that God planted Christ and God wants to reap Christ. God is not interested in reaping John, Matthew, Jeremiah, and so on. God is interested in Christ. You remember Paul says in Galatians, "My little children of whom I travel in Christ until Christ be formed in you." God has sown Christ into your spirit. He wants that Christ to be sown in your soul and that Christ to become a reality also in your body. And that's why we are bringing this message to you. So I want to read Revelation chapter 20, and I want you to see what he says there so that we can, you know, apply our heart to wisdom. You know, the Bible says, "Teach us to number our days that we may apply our hearts unto wisdom." I want to read from verse 4 of Revelation 20. "And I saw thrones, and they that sat upon them, and judgment was given unto them. And I saw the souls of them that were beheaded for the witness of Jesus and for the word of God, and which had not worshipped the beast, neither his image, neither had received his mark upon their forehead, nor in their hands. And they live and reign with Christ 1,000 years. But the rest of the dead live not again until the 1,000 years were finished." This is the first resurrection. "Blessed and holy is he that hath part in the first resurrection. On such the second death hath no power. But they shall be priests of God and of Christ, and shall reign with him 1,000 years. So we see here that even if we don't deal with everything here, there are simple things we can just pick here. That's what is called, number one, first resurrection. If there's first resurrection, that means there are other resurrections. And we have shown to you that this first resurrection, we've shown to you a bit of it when we spoke on this last week. This first resurrection, blessed are they that have part, blessed and holy. They are not just blessed, but they are holy. There's a qualification to be part of this resurrection. They are blessed, but they are also holy, that have part in the first resurrection. They are not just born again, but they are holy to be part of this resurrection. And so therefore, there's this resurrection that is important that we should all strive to be part of. And it says, those who will experience this resurrection, they shall reign with him 1,000 years. These are the ones that will be qualified to reign with him in the millennium. The Lord is coming and is going to reign 1,000 years here. His rule will be rule of justice and righteousness and holiness. And that rule, that government is coming. Of the increase of this government, there shall be no end. The scripture said the kingdoms of this world shall become the kingdom of our Lord and of his Christ. He's coming to rule. Men may not want it. Nations may not want it, but he's coming to rule. Whatever they put in place to hinder him from coming to rule, he's coming to rule. But that's not the issue. The issue is us, God's people, to get ourselves ready to be part of this reign and rule of Christ. And the scripture is showing here this: those who are holy, those who are blessed, those who are holy that shall have part in this first resurrection. It means that there are some Christians who will not have part in this first resurrection. And in verse 5, he says, "But the rest of the day," that means those who do not experience this first resurrection or who are not part of this first resurrection, he said, "live not again until the 1,000 years were finished." This is the first resurrection. When we dealt with this matter last week, we're showing that there are three stages: Christ, and then those who are Christ, and then the final general resurrection. And it's in that general resurrection, it says books were open, and books were open, and those who have done well to resurrection of life, and those who have not done well to damnation. So this is the general resurrection that is left for those who have no part in the first resurrection. I believe you are following me. And it says here, those who have part in this resurrection, they shall be priests of God and of Christ. These are the one who will minister to him, who will be his priest during this 1,000-year reign of Christ. He said they shall reign with him 1,000 years. This is the beauty of the scripture. And this is what we are talking about. Those that are Christ. That is the second category. Christ, the first resurrection. And then the second category, those who have part in the first resurrection. This is the scripture that I think is throwing light for us, is making us to see it and to see it. Now, I want to read some other scripture for us. This word, those who are in Christ, those that are Christ, and those who are in Christ. I want us to see this. What makes this one to be special? What makes them to be part of the first resurrection? What makes them holy? What makes them blessed? What makes them that they are the one who will become the priest of Christ and will reign and rule with him? What makes them? What a special thing? Is it not that we should all just be born again and we'll be part of it? No, it's not so. So I want to begin to show us from the scriptures what will make the difference. Let's go to Romans from verse 1. There's therefore now no condemnation or damnation or judgment to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but what? After the Spirit. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death. Now, it's simply saying here, who are those who are in Christ Jesus? It is explained very clearly to us here. Who are those who are in Christ Jesus? They are the ones who do what? Who do not walk after their flesh, but they walk what? After the Spirit. That's the qualification. That is the qualification here. Yes, that shows you can be a Christian and still be walking your flesh. Then suggests that you are not walking in Christ. Because it's clearly shown here, therefore now there is no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus. Who are these ones? This one has the ones who do not walk after the flesh, but after the Spirit. And as they do so, what happened? The law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus is making them free from the law of sin and death. And you remember Paul was saying in chapter 7 of this Roman that this law of sin and death works in our member. They war against our member. They work in the soul, in our emotions, in our desire, in our mind, in our will. This law of sin and death capture the soul. That's what he's saying. But it's a person who is not a Christian and is working after the Spirit, not after his flesh, not after his fleshly desire, after his mind, after his will, uncrucified mind, uncrucified will, uncrucified desire. Somebody walking that way is still walking in death. And that's why he says in verse 7 of this Romans chapter 8, because the carnal mind is enmity against God, what is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. So we see here, and then he says in verse 7, to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. So that means if a Christian, somebody who's born again, now goes on walking carnally, what is he walking into? Into death. I believe these things are very simple for us to see. And then he goes on to say, verse 8, so then, they that are in the flesh cannot please God. And this is written to Christians. This is the teaching of the church by the apostles for Christians who want to have part in the first resurrection. Christians who want to go beyond the norm and just move on with God, who wants to be part of this first resurrection. And it says again, and I want to read verse 13 of this same Romans chapter 8. For if ye live after the flesh, who? The Christians. If the Christians live after the flesh, they shall do what? They shall die. But if ye Christian, through the Spirit, do mortify, do kill the deeds of the body, ye shall do what? You shall live. Verse 14, for as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. And the scripture says the whole creation is waiting for the manifestation of the sons of God. So those who become mature sons of God are those who are not walking in their flesh, but who are walking in the Spirit, and they are killing the deeds of the flesh, the demands of the flesh, the desires of the flesh, the cravings of the flesh, by walking in the Spirit. The only answer to the flesh, to the cravings in our flesh, the desires in our flesh, the longings in our flesh, the carnality in our flesh, the only answer to it is to do what? To walk in the Spirit. Why? Because the Spirit will lead you to the cross. Listen, the problem of us believers is not just a problem of sin, it's a problem of the flesh. After we are born again, your sins are forgiven, the flesh is still there to deal with. And the answer to deal with the flesh is to walk in the Spirit. So if you walk in the Spirit, you are in Christ. If you are not walking in the Spirit and walking in your flesh, you are walking in condemnation. You are walking in damnation. You are walking in judgment. And said to be carnally minded is death. You are walking back to death. And he said, if you lift out that the flesh, you shall die. He's talking to Christians. So much teaching and preaching today that I said, once you're born again, that's all. You can just do whatever you like. God has forgiven both the sin, your past sin, future sins, your present. God has forgiven you. That's not true. That's not scriptural. The Bible says grace and truth have come through the Lord Jesus Christ. The scripture says mercy and truth have kissed each other. Many of us, we are asking for mercy. We don't want the truth. We want grace, but don't want the truth. And many preachers are emphasizing grace, grace, grace without talking about the truth. It is truth we know that will set us free. So we're talking about first resurrection. We're talking about those who will enter into the first resurrection. We're talking about these are the ones in Christ, are of Christ. They are the ones who are walking in the Spirit. You can be a Christian and not walk in the Spirit, and you are not in Christ in the sense that is being spoken here. Amen. And then you see in verse 16, it says, the Spirit itself bear witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. The Spirit wants to bear witness, wants to associate, wants to fellowship with your spirit man, wants to cover your spirit man, wants to lead your spirit man, so that your spirit man cooperating with the Holy Spirit, you can kill the deeds of the flesh, the cravings and the yearnings. It's a journey that has to do with Christ in the soul. That's why the scripture says, we are born the image of the earthy Adam, so we shall also bear the image of the heavenly, the second Adam. In Adam, we all died spiritually, in the spirit, in the soul, and then finally in the body. But in Christ, we shall live in the spirit, in the soul, and in the body. This is the level of our transformation, of our salvation, that we can become part of the first resurrection. This is the word of the Lord. Please do like the Berean Christian, check these things, if these things are true. This will explain to us that popular scripture we quote from 2 Corinthians chapter 5 verse 17. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, is a new creature. I hope you understand it now. It doesn't say if anyone is born again. It says if anyone be in Christ. It means the person who is in Christ is the person walking in the Spirit. He's that person that has been transformed to become what? A new creature in his spirit, in his soul, and eventually in his body. That many people are quoting the scripture, if any man be in Christ is a new creature, and nothing is new about them. Nothing is still being transformed about them. The character remains the same. They are born again, but there's no change in the character. The soul is not being changed. It's not being saved. It's not being transformed. And that's why he says, if Christ be in you here in this Romans chapter 8 verse 8, the body is quickened. He's talking about Christ in your soul. Now, I want to read another scripture, Galatians chapter 5 verse 24. I say, and they that are Christ have crucified the flesh with the affections and lusts. If you live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. The light here is this, and they that are Christ. And you remember, he said the first resurrection, then the second stage of resurrection, the resurrection for the people will be like Christ, is those that are Christ. And the scripture is saying here, they that are Christ have crucified the flesh with the affections and the lust, okay? And so we see again the light in the scripture, and it says, if we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. It shows what? Who are the people crucifying the flesh? Who are the people dealing with their flesh? Who are the people putting down their flesh? It is those who walk in the Spirit, who live in the Spirit and walk in the Spirit. It's not enough to talk about the Spirit. Being born again, even being baptized in the way and speaking in tongues doesn't mean you are walking in the Spirit. There are many people who are speaking in tongues, they still do all kinds of evil, they fornicate, they commit adultery, they lie, they cheat, they do, and they still speak in tongues. Speaking in tongues is not enough. An evidence that somebody is walking the Spirit. That's why he's saying here to us, if truly you have the Spirit, one of the things that the Spirit will do for you is to help you to crucify your flesh and the affections of your flesh, the cravings and the desire and the lust in our flesh, the passions in our flesh. And he says, if you live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. The two things. Don't tell me you are born again, you are baptized in the Holy Ghost, you speak in tongues. Don't even tell me you see vision and you have ministry, you lay hands, people live in the Spirit. The evidence of the Spirit is that the Spirit is helping you to crucify the flesh, the affections, and the lust thereof. Is that not what it says? Let's look at Galatians chapter 5. It says in verse 15, but if you bite and devour one another, take it that ye be not consumed one of another. This I say then, what is the way out of biting one another and devouring one another and consuming one another and cheating one another, backbiting one another? What is the way out? More prayer, more retreat, more fasting, more Holy Ghost night or more nights? No. What is the way out? The way out is this. This I say then, walk where? In the spirit. And you shall not fulfill what? The lust of the flesh, the cravings of the flesh. Those who crucify the flesh, they're the one in Christ. They're the one who will enter into this thing that we're talking about. Verse 18 of the same Galatians chapter 5 says, but if you be led of the spirit, you are not under the law. And because if you don't walk in the spirit, you will walk in the law. And what would the law provide? The law just provides opportunity for your flesh to show itself. And that's why I say these are the works of the flesh. They are adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcrafting, hatred, variance, emulation, wrath, strife, sedition, heresies, envy, murders, drunkenness, and reviling, and such like. Of which I tell you, as I have also told you in the temple, that they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. It doesn't say they are not born again, but it says they will not inherit the kingdom of God. They will not be the priests of Christ. They will not reign with him in his 1,000-year rule. That's what the scripture is saying. Listen, I hope it's clear. Christ first, and then those that have Christ, or those that are Christ, and those that have crucified the flesh, they are the ones who will reign and rule with him. I'm pleading with you, listener. You take your scriptures. You look at the scriptures. Please do like the Berean Christian. If what I'm saying to you is the truth, is the word of God, accept it, receive it. If it's not, just throw it away. It's a trash. If what I'm saying is not in the scripture, if it can't be confirmed by scriptures, just throw it away. But if it's the word of God, you cannot run from it. You can't escape it. If you are really serious about your Christian walk and you are really serious about following the Lord. Okay, I want to show us some other scriptures as we go on today, the book of Revelation. And I want to show you one thing that Jesus said. You remember, Jesus dictated the letters to the churches in the book of Revelation, and Jesus kept saying something to every one of them. He that overcometh, he that overcometh, he that overcometh. That means there's something to overcome. Revelation 3 verse 5 says, he that overcometh, the same shall be clothed with white raiment, and I will not blot out his name out of the book of life, and I will confess his name before my Father and before his angel. He that has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit said to the churches. So the Lord repeating this to all the churches. He repeated this to all the churches. He that hath ear, let him hear what the Spirit say to the church. He that overcometh, he that overcometh. You will see him saying this to all the churches. Now, why is he saying this to them? Because he knows that it's important that this is stressed to us as Christians, that we know that there's something to overcome. To overcome what? Our flesh. But he then says, how do we overcome our flesh? We must have ears to hear what the Spirit is saying. All the teachings, all the counsel, you have here to hear all that the Spirit is saying to the churches, all the whole counsel of God. Paul said in the book of Acts, I have declared unto you the whole counsel of God. My hands are free from your blood. Ministers must declare the whole counsel of God to people so that our hands can be free from their blood. We must not be afraid to speak the truth just because we are going to lose people, or they are not going to give us their money, or they are going to leave our churches. We must declare the whole counsel of God. And when we don't do it, our hands are not free from the blood of men. So Jesus is saying, he's emphasizing that we must overcome. What is the way to overcome? By hearing the Spirit. He that overcometh. He that overcometh. In this Revelation chapter 3, verse 1, I say, he that overcometh, the same shall be clothed with white raiment. White raiment is referring to that wedding garment. You will see it. The bride has made herself ready, and to him is been granted to be arrayed in white linen, which is the righteousness of the saints. That's the same thing. If we do not overcome, that garment will not be given to us. If we do not overcome, it does not just say that, and I will not blot out his name out of the book of life. So if we do not overcome, what does that mean? That the name can be blotted out of the book of life. This is what the scripture calls the second death. Listener, I hope you are listening. And I ask that the Lord will bless you. And I ask that the Lord will give you his help and give me, all of us, his help so that we can truly follow the Lord. I want to read also from that same Revelation chapter 3 verse 21. This is also very important. It says here, to him that overcometh will I grant to sit with me in my throne, even as I also overcame and I am set down in my Father's, in his throne. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. Please, I want to read that again. It says in Revelation 3:21, to him that overcometh will I grant to sit with me in my throne, even as I also overcame, and I am set down with my Father in his throne. He that hath an ear. He didn't say he that hath ears. An ear. Your ear must be single to hear the law. Your ear must not be open to everything. Hath an ear. Let him hear what the Spirit says to the church. This is the way to overcome. This is the standard. It's a high standard. It's only the Holy Spirit that can help us. Nobody can make a boast in himself. But what we are just saying is that don't sit content that you are born again and you are living carnally, you are not killing the desire of the flesh, you are not walking in the Spirit, and you are hoping that one day resurrection will come and you will just be part of the resurrection and you will sit with him on the throne. The scripture says that's not true. There's a work to be done. It's a work of righteousness. It's a work of the Spirit. It's following. And if you are seated into a congregation, into a place where you are not being taught the truth, where you have been deceived and besedated to sleep, the sleep of death, to say once you are born again, it doesn't matter. You can fight, you can fornicate, you can commit adultery, you can do whatever you like. As long as you are born again, God has forgiven you your past sin, your present sin, and your future sin. All has been forgiven. All has been covered by the blood of Jesus Christ. Then you have to tear some parts of this Bible away. I believe you won't do that. I believe you will submit to the counsel of God. And you will rise. Arise, thou that sleepest, and Christ shall give you light. I pray that this light will be given to you today. I speak to your spirit man to arise. I ask that the yoke of sin and iniquity and darkness and ignorance be broken over you, that your spirit will arise. So like the scriptures say, not only your spirit will arise, but you will go forward to be a wise virgin who will receive the oil in your soul. As we are born the image of the earthy, the image of Adam, so we can bear the image of the heavenly. In Adam, we all die, but it's all in Christ that we shall live. I ask the Lord to bless you.
This message, The Power of Endless Life, is brought to you courtesy Plummet Publishing, a Christian publishing house. You can call us on these phone numbers: 0803-392-2585 and 0706-3890-315. I take it again: 0803-392-2585, 0706-3890-315. You can also send us an email through the following email addresses: endlesslifeabuja@yahoo.com and endlesslifeabuja@gmail.com. I take it again: endlesslifeabuja@yahoo.com and endlesslifeabuja@gmail.com. You can also visit our website, www.plummetmission.org. The signature tune is taken from 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 18 of King James Version. Thanks to our regular host, John Adejoroluwa, our producers and our sound engineers. Please join us again, same time next week, and God bless you.
For the preaching of the cross, it is to them that perish foolishness, but unto us which are saved, it is the power.